I'm Jamie Seeker, and this is What It Takes. Each episode, I sit down with real business owners to talk about their journey, the wins, the challenges, and everything in between. Let's dive in. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of What It Takes, where we go behind the scenes with bold business owners and trailblazing entrepreneurs to find out how they built their companies, the good, the gritty, and everything in between. Today's guest is someone who's doing more than just riding the electric vehicle wave. He's building the charging lanes underneath it. Joseph Nagel is the head of strategy at Pando Electric, a California-based startup bringing affordable, maintenance-free EV charging to multifamily housing. And they're not just talking a good game. They've secured a $5.4 million grant from the California Energy Commission and are developing and deploying over 1,600 charging outlets across the state. Before Pando, Joseph helped scale two of the most recognizable names in the EV space: EverCharge, where he helped land a fleet deal with GM, and Orange Charger, where he led marketing and helped raise a $6.5 million seed round. He's passionate about where he's needed most, and that's where people live. So today, we're driving into the journey behind Pando, what it's like building a startup in a still-evolving industry, and what it takes to scale on a mission-driven company from the ground up. So welcome, Joseph. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
So tell us about the moment that Pando Electric was born. What problem were you trying to solve that no one else was really tackling effectively?
Yeah, there was a lot of companies trying to solve for multifamily EV charging initially. EverCharge was one of them, and all of them kind of failed for multiple different reasons. I think the biggest one being that costs were still really high for the property owner and they weren't really getting a return on investment. And so what we were seeing is a lot of, you know, very few installations. The few that went in, the charging stations themselves suffer from a maintenance issue. I'm sure everybody who's listening probably has read somewhere about EV charging stations being vandalized or destroyed. And that's because of the cable that's attached. The founder of the company, Aaron Lee, actually came up with the idea of, like, why are we not just using outlets at people's homes? You can just plug into them. They don't have a cable permanently attached. So if someone were to steal it, the outlet still exists on the wall and still could continue to work. And so we started working from there. And that's when we started to build a smart connected device that solves all of these little problems that exist within the multifamily space when it comes to electric vehicle charging.
Yeah. And the EV charging world is packed with like tech hype. You're in the middle of that in the Bay Area there. Why did you bet on smart outlets over traditional chargers? I know, like you mentioned a couple right now, but I'm sure that there are other really big reasons why this was the way that you guys wanted to go.
Yeah, it really boiled down to something that is kind of almost not intuitive for Silicon Valley. Like you said, like this is actually a more simplistic product. So instead of building in tons of complexities and to solve all these problems, we went the other direction and like, why don't we just make it really, really simple? It's an outlet. It just sits on the wall. Most of the time, people forget that it's even really there. They just kind of mindlessly plug it in and then go about their day. That's exactly the interaction that we want. We don't want you to have to figure out how to work with it. Like, you already know how an outlet works. We've made it so that the adaptive load management also runs very simplistically. It doesn't have to connect to the cloud. It kind of just works locally. And by building in everything to make it like as simple as possible, we've actually found that unlocked this market for us. And we've been growing very rapidly ever since.
That's really cool. And let's talk about that $5.4 million California Energy Commission grant. What was that process like? Like, how does it change the trajectory of your company? Because I would imagine that it would.
Yeah, it's a big game changer for us as a company, but it's, I think, a really big game changer for just the multifamily space in general. That California has always been very forward thinking in trying to get EVs off the ground. This will allow us to install at least at minimum 1,600 stations. We plan to go well beyond that with this money, but it does allow us to bring EV charging to the people who need it most, which is people in disadvantaged communities, either that be affordable housing or just places that don't have a lot of access to public charging infrastructure. You know, there are 44 million Americans today who live in a multifamily housing, and that number continues to grow year over year. It's actually the fastest growing housing space in the country. And for a long time, these people weren't really allowed to have access to home charging because the landlord, the property owner, really wasn't seeing an ROI. It's seen as a very expensive amenity. That has slowly changed. More of the property owners that I speak to now know that they need to have EV charging installed, or else they're going to start losing renters. And so really what we're going for with this money is to expand access to more people in more locations so that they can have the convenience of charging their vehicle at home, which when you're able to do that, absolutely changes the game when it comes to vehicle ownership, right? Like if you could fuel your vehicle at home, you would think, man, this is great. I don't ever have to go to the gas station. Well, with an electric vehicle, you can do that, provided there's a charging station. And now we've brought that to multifamily housing.
That's awesome. And you guys are a pre-seed startup, which means like every single person that you bring on, every hire counts. What do you look for when you're building a team in such like a fast moving space like that?
You know, it's interesting you bring this up because I was literally just talking to a colleague about this, about how it's essential that you hire the right person the first time. And so it is about being a little bit more patient with who you speak with, really making sure that they're not just the fit for the role, but a fit for the company, because you're going to have to work with these people very closely, very long hours in some stressful situations. So you want to make sure that, you know, everybody kind of meshes well together. The thing that we're really looking for most of all is someone who's really hungry and wants to think outside the box to solve problems. Because at a startup, we don't have the luxury of having, you know, millions and millions and millions of dollars to just light on fire until we figure things out. Like, we have to be really strategic in what we do and kind of get a little creative on ways to actually like reach our goals. Because if we follow the same path that everybody else is taking, you know, we're only going to go so far down that road because we simply don't have the resources to go. So we're going to have to find some shortcuts along the way.
So how do you find a person like that? I mean, it is something to say, oh yeah, like we're going to hire people but like you really have an interview process to figure that out. So how do you go about that?
Yeah, it is really more about ensuring that you listen intently to what people say. You give them open-ended questions. Don't like force them down a road where there's only one or two answers. Give them really open-ended questions. I want to see how you think. Mm-hmm. That's really the biggest thing. If you can think your way, we can have a conversation and I can see you're thinking very creatively, especially on problems that you probably don't fully understand. That's the other big one. I really like to ask people questions that they probably aren't going to expect, especially about our industry. Like they're just not going to know. But it's interesting to see how someone would think their way through an issue or a problem like that. And you can start to sort of see the people who are going to really succeed in that environment, because a lot of the environment that I work in is very uncertain. So if I ask you a question full of uncertainty and you're sort of able to think your way through that problem, I can generally expect you to be able to do that in like a real world scenario.
That's really good, because I feel like balance is going to be really important in a hiring situation, because on the one hand, you have to think about their technical capability. Like you're in a niche industry, like EV infrastructure. You're not just hiring any random person on the street, but then you have to balance that like mission alignment that you're talking about, you know? So I think what you were saying about open-ended questions, hearing how they process things, what they think, like, how do you do that once they are on board then? Like, making sure that you have in your products and services an output, that high level of technical ability, while also kind of pursuing what you guys are all about and finding those people that work hard and all that beyond just the interview, you know, portion of it.
Right after the interview, like the interview is probably your first step into like the Pando world. And then once you take the job, we really kind of, you know, your first month or so is a lot of just in the weeds learning stuff. It's not so much like throw you to the wolves and go after it, because I know that even though that's kind of like a lot of the mindset around startups, that's really not a good way to get anybody up to speed, just to throw somebody out into the, you know, and say, hey, you sink or swim. I'd rather give you the tools to help you swim than just throw you into the deep end. And so what we kind of do is we try to ramp people up a little bit more slowly. I will give you tasks and stuff, but I can handle the workload for a while. Like I've been doing it, you know, by myself for a while. So it's not like an extra month is really going to kill me. But as I get you ramped up, I can slowly start to hand off work. And that's where you can start to see like people really start to, you know, expand. The thing that I really love to do is give people freedom to kind of operate in the space that they want. I'm not here to tell you how to do your job. I'm not here to tell you where to do your job. I just need the work to get done. So however that happens, whatever your process is, go for it. Like, I'm not going to stop you. Just make sure that that work is the best work that I see all day and we're good.
I love that. What's something else that you've done intentionally to create like that strong internal culture? Like, obviously the freedom to get to the end result, right? Like giving everyone that autonomy, I think is really great. But in the early stages of growth, you know, that's kind of hard to just, you know, say, oh, it's all about culture, because you do have to show up and deliver on some things as well. So what's something that you've done intentionally to create that strong internal culture while still doing what you need to do?
Yeah, one of the cool things that we do here is that we kind of took an approach that a lot of internships take, which is like a capstone project. And so we give people like, hey, after your first like 4 weeks, we want you to come up with an idea of something that you see a hole or a need that you can fill. And then over the next like 6 weeks or so, you're going to be building something that goes, you know, to make towards that capstone project. And so it really helps us see again, like where people's minds are at, because I can give you like this open-ended, like, hey, if you see a hole, you and I are going to work together and you're going to point out a few of them, because it's a startup. There are plenty of holes that need to be patched and filled. And then we're going to work together on the one that I think is most realistic to get done. And then I'm going to have you just go off and do it. And then slowly over time, you're going to build it together. And we've had some really amazing like people come through. You know, someone redesigned our entire webpage. Someone is starting currently a whole newsletter program. One person rewrote our entire, you know, cold outbound emails. Like, so there's always something to do and to derive from. But when you see that, you can also kind of see like where people are gravitating towards, right? Like if someone points out to me they want to redo the email campaigns, I'm like, oh, so more like a writer. They're thinking more on that level. Whereas the other person who redesigned the webpage, a designer, I'm like, okay, like I can see where I can slot these people in into different positions without having to like ask.
That is a really cool idea. I've actually never heard that before, but that's brilliant. I mean, because we do these capstones with interns all the time. Like, it never even dawned on me to do it with a new hire and think like, hey, you're coming in here with new eyes, you're learning, fresh perspective. Like, what do you see? And then you really touched on that second point, is that wherever they kind of gravitate to helps you to help build them and like their next steps and their career and everything like that. So that's really cool. Have you guys faced any challenges in like retaining people and talent? And because you're like in the heart of that competition in the tech market, you know what I mean? Like, how have you handled that?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the people that we don't retain end up just not being good fits. And that's always why I say, like, you got to get it right the first time. Because when you do that, it's, you know, you start all the way back over at the beginning. It's like that old board game Chutes and Ladders. You go all the way down to the beginning and it's like really a long haul all the way back up to the top. We haven't faced too many issues yet, like knock on wood, but of people bailing for another company. And I think really that boils down to, you know, A, finding people who are very mission-driven and mission-focused who do believe in the company. And then also, you know, we're a startup, we give equity as sort of as a payment. And so it's like, hey, look, if you truly do believe in this company, you have ownership stake. And if you do your job well and we can continue to grow the way that we're growing, that ownership stake is going to grow with it. And I think that's what ends up motivating a lot of people more. You know, I could get a good offer from, say, like a Samsung or a Microsoft, but I'm really not going to get that ownership stake. And even when I do, it's going to be minuscule. And it really boils down to like, I'm just a useless cog in a giant machine. Like if I vanish, Microsoft continues on without me. Whereas like at Pando, if I vanish, like the machine probably breaks for a while.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a really good point. And you've been at the forefront of EV charging startups for years now. I mean, this is a fairly new industry. What's been your biggest like personal or professional lesson so far?
Patience. You know, at Pando Electric, we are still trying to solve a problem that I thought was going to get solved when I was back at EverCharge. And so I think it's really that idea of, you know, just keep working towards your end goal. It'll be slower than a lot of people think, at least in the world that I've been in. I haven't yet had that rocket ship to the moon startup where it's like, hey, one day you're, you know, four people in a garage and then the next day you're a 1,000-person company. Like that hasn't happened for me. I would expect that to be extremely rare. So patience. And then also on the other side of that is persistence. So it's not just waiting, but it's also, you know, continue to work towards that goal. Even when things kind of get derailed, like EverCharge, for example, we didn't solve multifamily charging, but we did pivot into fleets and we were able to get that problem solved. So it's also being a little bit flexible and figuring out, okay, like this maybe didn't work at this point in time, but we do have really good tech. We do have really good technology. Like let's push it into a direction that we can solve for now. And so that's kind of where we're at as an industry, is still sort of slowly solving these little edge case problems. I think today, most of them are more or less solved. I see the only one left is curbside, and there's some really cool charging startups that are solving that problem.
Wow. And I think that's really in alignment with like how you build your teams too. Like, you know, because you can't pivot into a new space that you weren't intending to go without being willing to like listen and receive and like, you know, see what's kind of going on around you. And I think that that's, I love hearing that that's like in alignment with you and building your teams. You know, the first thing you said was like, well, we just listen, you know, like we're asking questions and genuinely wanting to know what, how they answer it, how they process, how all that kind of stuff. And so when you go in with a plan, I think it's great to have a strategy, a plan, a direction. I think that's absolutely imperative. Also, being willing and humble enough really to just like say, hey, this direction isn't working for us. What can we do? But this can work. So why don't we, you know, see what we can do to kind of move in a different direction there? And so I think that that's really great, like personally, but I see it like professionally, like in alignment there and affecting the business as a whole. So I'm going to pivot into our last question that we ask everyone that has to do with what it takes to be in that business owner, business leader, decision-making position. You know, in your experience, what do you think? Like, what does it take?
I think it boils really down to a few things. Number one, like I said, patience and persistence are key. You are going to run into roadblocks. I was talking to a colleague of mine this morning about how I have never worked on any project where something didn't go absolutely horribly wrong. Like it's always the same. Like you think it's going to go perfectly at the beginning. You have this huge plan all mapped out and like four or five steps in, something breaks. And then all of a sudden, you know, there might be some chaos that ensues. It's about being patient, you know, being persistent and getting through those hard times, because they're always going to exist. And it doesn't matter what size or scale the company is at, you have to kind of learn to push through those. And then the other really big one that I think a lot of first-time founders and people that I know in this, you know, startup world don't do is seek help, right? Like you're not going to be able to do everything by yourself. It's just not possible. Like you could literally be the smartest person on the planet. You're not going to be able to do everything by yourself. You just don't have that ability. Finding those people who can help fill those gaps for you, finding those people who are willing to help you, especially those people who are willing to help you for no money. Right. Like that's one of the bigger keys, is like finding people who are just willing to help because they want to help. And then you find a way to pay that forward. You know, I do it myself. Like I mentor a lot of startup founders here in the Bay Area. I try my best to give back to the community. You know, I ask for absolutely nothing back from them in return, because, you know, that's the only way that you help everything grow together, is like you have to work together. Like that's pretty much how humanity has grown. We work together. We don't silo ourselves off. The people who do that end up failing. So those, I think, are probably the biggest keys that I would say to actually succeeding as a business owner.
Oh, Joseph, that's amazing and wonderful that you said that. Patience, persistence, you got to keep going. It's going to be hard. Expect that and ask for help. I mean, it sounds so simple, right? If you guys could just do these three things, you'll be fine. But it's sometimes some of the hardest things to do when you're in the moment. Having patience in a really tough, difficult situation is really hard to do. And also, when you're facing those things, it's hard to keep going, right? It's so much easier, especially in this day and age, to just kind of throw your hands up and be like, oh, we're done here. Let alone then seek out help. And, you know, so it can be as easy or as hard as you make it. But I think, yeah, that's really, really good advice, and probably lessons that took you, you know, that you didn't just wake up doing, that you kind of had to, handle some tough situations to get there. So thank you so much for sharing the story behind Pando Electric too. I love how mission-driven your work is and how practical that approach is to making EV charging accessible. And I know that California has some, you know, big shifts coming up in the future over to electric. So I think folks living in multifamily communities are really going to be grateful that you guys are starting this stuff now. So if anybody's looking to get in contact with you or find you, any listeners that we've got here, how do they go about that?
Two really good ways. First way, head over to pandoelectric.com. That's all the information you're ever going to need about the company. There's a phone number and a contact form there if you are looking for EV charging at your apartment or condo community. Or if you want to reach out to me personally, my email is joseph.nagel@pandoelectric.com.
That's awesome. And we'll make sure to put that in our show notes as well so people can reference that if they're listening to us here. And as always, thank you so much for joining and thank you so much for being on the show, Joseph.
Thank you.
This podcast is brought to you by Seeker Solution. Are you a business owner feeling overwhelmed? We can help. Head over to seekersolution.com to schedule a call today. Would you or someone you know like to be featured on this podcast? Our applications are now open. Apply today at seekersolution.com and click on the podcast link to get started.